Great. Thanks very much, Vicky, and thank you to everyone who's joined us today ahead of our big UFC Fight Night Fight Pass event in Sydney, Australia, next week, actually on November the 8th. We're really, really excited about this card at the All Phones Arena. We've got some great fights lined up featuring a great mix of local talent, UFC veterans, and, of course, the hotly anticipated main event, five rounds between the bitter rivals and middleweight contenders, number 5, Luke Rockhold, and number 9, Michael Bisping. Both Mike and Luke are on the line, and we'll be taking your questions shortly. But before we do that, let me just take care of a couple of housekeeping issues, please and thanks. First of all, we have a limited number of tickets still available for this event, and those tickets are available at tickettech.com.au. This event is going to be streamed line exclusively live in most parts of the world on ufcfightpass.com, the UFC's digital streaming service. I'd also like to remind everyone on the call that while the event takes place on Saturday, November the 8th in Sydney, time zones being what they are, the event will be live prime time in North America Friday night for UFC Fight Pass subscribers in North America. The main card will actually start in Sydney at 2 p.m. on Saturday afternoon, the 8th, but it'll be live on 10 p.m. Eastern on Friday night, 7 p.m. Pacific on Friday night, November the 7th, on UFC Fight Pass. I'd also like to remind everyone before we start the call, we've got a great night of exclusive live fights on UFCFightPass.com this Saturday, November the 1st, with the entire Invicta FC 9 card headlined by the flyweight title fight between Barb Honchuk and Takeo Hashi. So with that said, I'm going to open up to the media for questions, and I'll turn it back to you, Vicky, to moderate that, please.
Thank you. If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing star 1 on your telephone keypad. If you're using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press star 1 to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions. We'll go first to Jeffrey Harris with 411 Mania MMA.
Hello, thank you all for joining us today. This question is for Michael. Michael, throughout your career, you've had numerous opponents who have had performance-enhancing drug test issues, who have failed tests, and this includes guys who have wins over you, guys you've beaten, and now Kung Lee, who recently had his failed drug test suspension. Because of the manner of the way his drug tests were held. Do you believe that exonerates him, or do you believe he's still guilty?
I mean, to be honest, I don't get involved in the processes. My job is to fight. I believe there's no smoke without fire, though, and because of certain technicalities and loopholes, he was exonerated. You know, the suspension was rescinded. But as I said, I don't get involved in these matters. My job, what I'm paid to do, is to step into the octagon and fight. And, you know, I'll let the UFC take care of the bureaucracy.
Now, for Luke, you're currently ranked number 5 in the middleweight division. A guy ranked ahead of you, Jacare Souza, is a guy you have a win over. Do you believe you're taking a big risk here by fighting Bisping instead of for a rematch against Jacare?
I don't believe I'm taking a risk. This is another good fight for me. Chance to showcase my skill set and where I've improved and what I've done. I've already have a win over Jacare. I've beat him. So I don't understand exactly how the rankings work, but I'm just gonna look to showcase my skills and in this fight. I'm very happy about fighting Michael, and I'm gonna go in there and perform.
You've been challenging Michael to a fight for quite some time. Is the reason you're going after him, is it because of that remark he made about I beat you in training camp, so I have an unofficial win over the Strikeforce middleweight champion, making me the linear champion?
It's definitely a bonus to shut his mouth and set the record straight on that note. He's just a guy I really haven't respected a lot of the way he carries himself around the sport, and It's on my, you know, I've been around for a while, and I hear a lot of things and I see a lot of things, and you know, I really don't care for the guy, and I'm looking forward to setting him up for myself and a lot of people.
We'll go next to Heidi Fang with MMA Fight Corner.
Hello, my first question is for this, just to follow up on that. What is it about Michael Fisping that you don't respect?
He just seems to not be a nice, genuine guy to most people. I mean, he only like carries himself to is nice to people. Seems like further himself and people who are gonna have him. You know, I mean, I haven't really heard a lot of bad things about him. Just not being nice to the average Joe, really. I mean, you got to treat people the way you want to be treated, he seems like he's a prick everywhere in life. So I don't know what he's not about. I'm looking forward to making everybody else happy.
Well, allow me to shed some light on that situation, because Luke, I'm not sure if he's aware of this. This is a fucking conference call, so you're supposed to talk and try and be a little bit eloquent and get your side of the story over. Luke, I don't know you. I don't care for you. We haven't shared a single proper conversation, so you're basing your facts, or what you presume is facts, on absolute nothing, on fresh air. We have had one conversation of the sparring match in question that everybody talks about. You don't know me. You don't know me as a person, so kiss my fucking ass, you lanky piece of shit. I'll see you in Australia, you asshole, and we'll put it all to bed then.
For the both of you, just to follow up on that, you seem to both be going in with high emotions into this fight. Do you feel that's risky in a fight with these type of states? I suppose Rockhold first.
I'm sorry, I couldn't quite hear everything. There's a little bit talking back on people walking out.
Just going into this fight with these types of emotions, do you consider that a risk?
As you can see, the way I've carried myself in our conversations and our face-to-faces, I'm not really too emotional. If you want to see me emotional, go back and watch my Belfort lead up in the fight. I was pissed. I was emotional. You could see it in my eyes. I'm very comfortable and relaxed, and that's never going to happen again. I'm never going to let emotions get the better of me. I've done my work. I've worked my ass off in this whole training camp, worked with some of the best guys in the world, I've prepared, and I'm better than I've ever been. I'm going to go out there and just do my job.
And for Michael, you seemed very upset there with Luke and had some choice words for him there.
No, I'm not upset for him. I'm not upset about any of his remarks. Anything that Luke Rockhold said doesn't really register with me, to be honest. You know, the guy is trying to jump on a bandwagon. Oh, I'm doing this for the sake of everybody. He's such an asshole. No one likes him. Nobody has any right to base that opinion on anything, because when I'm outside of the octagon, I'm at home with my wife and kids. So I don't know where he's basing this whole bad guy image on. Regarding emotions, not at all. I'm going down here to take care of business. Luke Rockhold is not somebody that I obsess about. He's not somebody that I care about. He's not somebody that I wake up in the morning and think about. I'm here to do my job, to put on an entertaining fight for the fans, and I've done that throughout my entire career, and this will be another occasion where I will do that. I'm going down to Sydney to take care of business. Yes, of course, I get to shut this guy up in the process, so that is obviously a bonus. But, as I say, I'm all business. I'm going to go down there, put on a great fight, give everybody what they want to see, and I'll get to show him up in the process, so it's a plus.
We'll go next to Dave Meltzer with Wrestling Observer.
This is I guess mainly for Luke, because I actually have talked to Michael about this before. What is your side or recollection of what happened in China? I think it was the night after the Kung fight with Michael, and I guess you were I don't know if it was a coffee shop or it was at breakfast or something. I mean, what's kind of like, how do you remember that incident?
Well, the morning after the fight, everyone's packing up, getting ready to go. I had my bags, and there's a little coffee shop on the way out from the elevators. I walked down to get some coffee, and it's kind of isolated little zone. And I'm starting to get a cup of coffee, and I looked over, and of course, Michael's sitting right there with his dad and his little friend. So I'm trying to order this coffee, and this little guy is just staring at me and just blabbing, like running his mouth, like just trying to egg me on. And I'm like sitting there, I'm like trying to ignore the little guy. And it's completely unavoidable. I had to get my coffee and walk right by him as this little guy is just staring at me and like trying to talk to me. And like, I had no choice but to butt in. So I basically, just like I said, I don't lie. I don't embellish how I do things. I turned and I put my hand in straight. I stood right in the middle of their conversation. I put my hand in. I was like, gentleman's bet. You know, I was like, I said, if I don't finish in the first round, you get half my purse. And he's like, and then he immediately went on the backtrack saying, well, look here. I make this much. And now they're trying to throw us. I was like, I don't care. You want $100,000 on top of your paycheck. All you got to do is get out of the first round. From then on, he blew it all out of proportion, jumped up in my face, and tried to say, oh, I'm disrespectful, tried to turn it into a very disrespectful thing. And then I, you know, of course, stood my ground and snapped back at him. But, you know, it was very, you know, I put my hand out, gentleman's bet. That's how I offered it. I didn't get it crazy yet. The little guy was on my case, and it was an unavoidable situation.
Okay, and allow me to just to clarify through the bullshit there. So he does admit that he walked off and challenged me to a bet when I was with my father. The guy that he's talking about in question doesn't say two words to anyone. He's one of the quietest human beings you will ever see. So he was that you could ever meet. And he's saying that this guy was staring at him, talking shit. Luke, you're a liar. You're an absolute liar. Nobody was looking at you. You came off, you interrupted. You showed a lack of class, and I'll punish you for it next week.
No, you won't. And the fact of the matter is, I'm sitting there. If they can release my commentary on a fight, I'm sitting there commentating on his fight with Kung Lee on a Fight Pass commentary that I haven't released yet. But the little guy is constantly running over to me and slapping him on my back. You're next. You're next. And his dad even gets on the catwalk and points to me and says, "You're next." And they're just like, "He's gonna beat your ass." And like, I'm not joking when I say this. This went on for at least a couple days prior to the event.
So no, did you have like incidents? Was it with them or with Michael before the event in China as well?
No, I didn't see Michael before. It was just I was in passing with those guys, and you know they were bringing me in the back, and I had to wait. I think I had to wait for this guy to pass. This is how it kind of began, and I was waiting for Michael and Kong to walk by the red carpet, and I was like, they're like, come. The UFC people were trying to get me behind the behind the fence, and I was like, wait. Wait for this asshole to pass. And then his dad and the little guy overheard me say it. And then from then on, they're like, that fucking asshole's going to beat your ass, you know, right after this. And this. And then they just kept egging it on and coming after me because they overheard me say that.
Now, you mentioned earlier in the call something about, like, you kind of think that you made some mistakes as far as whether it's mental before the Belfort fight. Is there anything like exactly what that means? I mean, as far as did you just get too hung up on certain things, or what's kind of like when you look back at that in hindsight?
It's fighting Vitor Belfort in Brazil, my debut. There's a lot of things, you know, I just took personally. I took a lot on my shoulders. Like, you know, I want to beat him for myself and for a lot of reasons that are obvious. You know, it definitely was an emotional time. And then, you know, the Brazilian crowd is very passionate, and everyone gets on your back in between, you know, and the whole build up. So it's, you know, just the whole circumstance. Fighting Vitor too, of course, just, you know, his history with everything and who he was, you know, is one of the best fighters. So there's a lot on the line there, and you know, it just helped me release. You know, the funny thing is, I wasn't really sure of how good I was as a striker. You know, I knew I was good, but how was I going to compare with one of the best strikers of all time in there?
Well, you didn't compare very well because you got knocked out in the first round.
Yeah, you got knocked out too, so, I mean, not really.
All right, it wasn't the first round, though, was it? You shot straight away and then got knocked out. Great fight, good job. And, oh, yeah, you're blaming it on the pressure. All right.
You got your ass kicked the whole time.
All right, buddy.
Back a little bit.
Ooh, my little friend was picking on you, God bless.
Hey, this is Michael Bisping at his finest. He's, you know, build up. But your true colors show after the fight, and we all know you spit on people after the fight. So I mean, that's,
oh great,
that's
yeah.
You,
all right,
that's,
go
that's,
on.
That's
anything
you
else
are.
You
that's
can
you
flag up from history? Go on.
Yeah, that is what you are. The true colors show after the fight, and that's you.
All right, go. All right, okay.
We'll go next to Breck Okamoto with ESPN.
Hey, thanks, guys. Dave kind of stole my thunder there. He basically asked Luke the exact question I was going to ask him. But I guess, Luke, you know, just sort of talking about things you've talked about before, you said that this fight is very different than Vitor. Do you think that that's just because you've learned how to deal with it better, or is it just because this rivalry is just so different than the one you had with Vitor, your first fight?
It is different, you know, in a lot of ways. I've gained a lot more confidence in myself as a striker, and just letting things be, letting it go, just letting me fight my fight. You know, I mean, like taking a loss like that is a humbling experience, and then really, you know, you can't go much further down. So, I mean, just gotta kind of, you know, go in there and let it be. You know, it was all the pressure of coming over and performing in the UFC, and I was just after that, I was like, look, you know, just relax. You know, I'm better than these guys. Just fight and enjoy the process. And you know, you question yourself a lot in your head, and you play some mind games. And I just found the right mindset for fighting and waiting for my opportunities, and gave me the confidence as a striker just being in there. I just don't think V was that good. You know, I got caught with a wild kick, and you know, I was starting to see things. And you know, I know that I'm one of the best strikers in the world now, and you're going to see that in this fight. I'm going to completely outclass Michael on the feet and everywhere.
When you talk about that pressure, how do you think it translated to the fight, though? I mean, did you like freeze up? Were you like just in a range that you never meant to be in? I mean, how did it actually affect what you did in the cage?
If you see me in the cage, I was nervous, you know, about his speed and his striking, and just emotionally invested. I was staring at him across the cage, just mean mugging him the whole time, and just like, you know, it's crazy experience being out there in Brazil and, you know, fighting him. I was just psyching myself up in the wrong way rather than just relaxing and seeing things. I was just, you know, my eyes are just, you know, pure red, and I was just coming after him like crazy, man, when I should have just relaxed and saw everything coming and waited. It kind of just clouds your vision when you act like that. And, you know, the realization that I really gained, you know, in sparring too. When I would get pissed and aggressive, it brought out the worst in me, you know. And then I started to relax. I had some crazy guys in sparring that, you know, I learned how when I relax and I wait, you know, I'm a lot more dangerous and a lot more precise. You know, between that training after that fight and that fight, there's a lot of a lot to look back on and think about and reflect.
So during this whole build-up with Mike, have you felt yourself get angry at all, or is that just something that doesn't even happen anymore? Or is it like still something that you have to work on when you've got a guy who's talking to you during the build-up to a fight?
No, I mean, I've been through that before, and I promised myself it's not going to get to me, and you know, I know how to carry myself. It's completely different. I don't feel it, you know, like I did with Vitor. I was emotionally pissed, and now I'm just, you know, it's confidence. There's a lot to do with it, and relaxation. I'm very confident. I'm going to go out there and do my job.
Okay, thanks. Good luck to both of you.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Stephen Morocco with USA Today.
Kind of a follow-up question for Luke. I mean, has it been worth all the added questions and added attention and all this bickering back and forth? Has it been worth it to call out Mike and get this fight?
Has it been worth to call him out for all the
extra questions, the added attention, having to be in the same room with him, all these things that, you know, understandably you have a different relationship to them now, but, you know, I'm wondering if any of this has been burdensome at all, you know, all this added attention, or has it been worth it?
You know, it's fight. It's a fight. People love, you know, the talk. People love a feud, a genuine feud, and this is what they're getting. You know, I don't like the guy, and, you know, I'm going to voice my opinion, and I'm gonna sell a fight. You know, I'm a competitive person, whether we're talking, whether we're fighting, and, you know, I'm not gonna lose it all to this guy, you know. I'm excited. I'm selling the fight. He's selling the fight. And it's going to be even more. The pre-fight hype is nothing compared to what you're going to see from November 8th and 7th here.
Do you think you guys have done
a good
job?
I don't know how I should say that, because it's the eighth there and the seventh here. I keep like going back and forth on that one. It's kind of different.
Yeah. Well, I guess a question for both of you. Do you think you guys have done a good job selling Mike relative to some other grudge matches? We've seen, you know, obviously the upcoming Jones Cormier, Aldo Mendez. How do you guys think you've done?
I mean, no one can compare to what Jones and DC did, but I think we're doing all right.
Mike?
You know, for me, it's not a case of trying to outdo other fighters and this and that. You know, obviously, this is an intriguing middleweight matchup, and it kind of sells itself. You know, I mean, as Luke has told everybody, you know, he doesn't like me, and so of course, you know, he's not at the top of my Christmas card list. So there's certainly no love lost between us. We're both two highly skilled individuals that bring it. You know, Luke, for all the disdain that he feels towards me, you know, he is a good fighter and he does fight well, and so do I. So where that has all the ingredients for, you know, a highly watchable fight. So that kind of sells itself. And, of course, with all the bad blood going into it, you know, I've just been myself as usual. And, you know, I mean, as he said, you know, you can't really compare anything this year to John Jones and Daniel Cormier. I mean, that's the best pre-fight hype ever. But, you know, we've still got a week left. You never know. We'll see what happens at the press conference next week.
Can I, just one more, if I could. I'm wondering what your respective understandings are of the middleweight pecking order right now. Like, where do you guys see yourself in the division? What's this fight for?
Well, obviously, you've got Vitor and Weidman. They're going to sell things in February, I believe. You know, Luke, since he came to the UFC, his last two fights, you know, they were good victories. And, you know, people are talking about him possibly being the next contender. You know, obviously, for myself, it's just one fight at a time. If I beat Luke, when I beat Luke, I think that puts me in a very, very good position. Of course, there is some other good talent out there that's making a case for it. Mishida, obviously, you know, Mishida's always a perennial contender, but he just had his shot. So it kind of, you know, takes him out of it for the immediate future, I think. You know, there's Jacare. You know, so but Jacare, I'm not sure if the UFC are too excited about that. So who knows? You know, fingers crossed. I get a good performance against Rockhold. I believe it puts me right in the mix. Does it guarantee a title shot? Not necessarily, but as I say, I believe it puts me right in the mix.
Yeah, I mean, he said it pretty well. For me, on my end, I got to go out there and win. I got to win impressively to really step my game up and separate me as the number one contender, and that's what I plan on doing. You know, I mean, I can't go squeak a win out. I got to go perform, and that's what I do. I mean, it's not about beating Bisping. It's about being the best fighter in the world for me, and, you know, I train every day to be that guy, and that's what I'm going to go look to perform and show.
Once again, that is star one on your telephone keypad to ask a question or a follow-up question. We'll go next to Damon Martin with Fox Sports.
Yeah, my first question is to Mike. Mike, I talked to you a couple days ago, and I know you said openly about the whole comment you made back in the day that started this whole thing, the unofficial Strikeforce champion, you know, kind of making a joke, and you apologized to Luke. But looking back on the whole thing, do you regret, you know, actually saying that comment or seeing where you're at now with this big fight, main event, you know, one of the biggest fights in the middleweight division? I mean, do you really regret actually making that comment?
You know, you can't go around your life, live your life regretting everything, every comment that you make. I made a lighthearted remark, and it was a joke. And if he had a sense of humor, he maybe would have got that joke, because I thought it was a pretty good line, the unofficial Strikeforce champion. Listen, a sparring match has no bearing on what's going to happen in a fight. Of course, we've all heard Luke's multitude of reasons why he didn't perform that day, and he's probably right. Listen, sparring has no reflection on a fight. It was just a lighthearted remark. Was it a little bit disrespectful? I suppose it was, you know, and that's why I instantly apologized. You know, I've been known throughout my entire tenure as a fighter to say things sometimes, and you know, it certainly wasn't designed to be respectful or harmful. Disrespectful. But I guess it, you know, it kind of came off that way. So, but as I said, that's why I did apologize. Do I regret it? No, I don't regret it. You know, I certainly got a good laugh out of it at the time, and here we are. You know, we're both going to get paid well out of it next week. We probably would have been matched up regardless of whether or not I said that, but it certainly it helped throw some fuel on the fire for this fight, definitely.
And Luke had said earlier today, and I'll follow up with Luke in a second, but he had said earlier today in an interview that he doesn't believe that you're a real fighter, that you actually enjoy fighting. Now, I don't know if you heard that comment, or I'll just kind of tell you right there, that's what he said, that you know, he doesn't believe you enjoy fighting and you're not a real fighter. Your response to that?
No, Damon, let's retract that. I didn't say he wasn't a real fighter. I said he doesn't enjoy fighting. I enjoy the process. I have a good time in there. He just seems like he's building himself up. He's very psyching himself up. He's slapping himself, and he doesn't really seem like he relaxes. And he keeps a little tense in the fight. And he never really, you know, like I'm smiling, and I really enjoy fighting when I'm actually in the cage. And I don't really necessarily like the build up, but when I'm in the cage and they shut that door, that's a fun time for me. That's a good time. So I just don't see it in him. I analyze fighters from every bit of them, from how they fight. I do my homework, and I just haven't seen it in business. He seems like he'll fight to the bitter end, but I just don't think he really enjoys fighting.
Okay, well, it's clearly obvious that if you've been analyzing me, you clearly don't have a psychology degree, so quit the amateur philosophy there, because, listen, I love Damon, this is who I'm talking to right now, not that gobshite. I love fighting. I truly love it. That's why I do it. Nobody puts a gun to my head and makes me fight. I don't do it out of necessity. I don't do it because I have to do it for the money or anything like that. I truly love doing this. I've done it since I was 8 years old. 8 years old, I first walked into a jiu-jitsu gym, and at the end of it, we put the gloves on, and we started boxing, and that's what really set my imagination on fire and kept me walking into the gym every single time. And that's why I always turn up in great shape for my fights, because I love to spar. Sparring is my favorite part of it, you know, and I never shy away from any challenges. I love fighting. I feel alive when I do it. It puts a smile on my face, and I was put on this planet to be a fighter. So, you know, the guy's clutching at straws at best with that comment.
Awesome. Thank you very much, guys.
Thank you.
We'll go next to Adam Ireland with MMA Canvas.
Hi, guys. Adam Ireland here. Michael, quick question for you to start. Will you be training out at Western Sydney with James Tahuna? I know you've trained with him in the past.
Yeah, no, that's right. I have trained out there in Penrith and with Tahuna and those guys before. No, on this occasion I won't be. I'm coming in a little bit later than what I have done in the past. The last two times I fought in Australia, I was living in the UK. So as you guys know, there's a massive time difference and, you know, a full 24 hours of travelling. So we typically came out a few weeks before. This time I'm coming out 8 days before, you know, so, and the time difference, whilst there's still a decent time difference, it's not as extreme as it is between the UK and Australia. So, yeah, all the training will be done, and when I get out there, it will just be a case of staying sharp, staying fresh, shadow boxing, things like that. So I won't be heading out to Penrith and working out with those guys.
Okay, cool. And a question for both of you. The co-main event is Ross Pearson and Quinta, and then you guys facing off as well. It's almost like a bit of a USA versus UK battle, but in Australia. So I'm interested to know, from both of your perspectives, who has the home field advantage, do you think?
That's a good question.
Maybe go Michael first.
Okay. To be honest, it's kind of a difficult one, you know, because you guys, you're a member of the Commonwealth, but you don't like to act like it, you know, because we're such great sporting rivals. The first time I fought down there, I was expecting a cheer, but, you know, I got booed quite heavily. On my return, in the next one, you guys kind of came on board a little bit, and I kind of got cheered. On this one, I kind of get the feeling I'm going to get cheered here. Hopefully, I should have the home side advantage. But ultimately, when you're fighting, when you're in the octagon, that's not important. You know, it's just you and your opponent. And once that door shuts and the referee says fight, it doesn't really matter. Of course, it's always nice to get the adulation of the crowd, but it's not essential in winning or losing a fight. Regarding the co-main event, again, that's a fantastic matchup. Two great strikers. Of course, I'm a big fan of Ross Pearson. I love the way he fights. He always brings it every time. So whilst I'm sure me and Luke are going to deliver in the main event, the co-main event is not to be slept on either. That's a fantastic matchup. I like Mike Winter is the perfect matchup for Ross Pearson to bring out the best in both fighters. You're going to see a lot of boxing, a lot of body shots from both of those guys. So, and it's a great fight card from top to bottom as well. But home field advantage, listen, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I've probably got that. Is it important? No, it's not.
Okay, awesome. Luke, what are your thoughts?
I'm going to bring everyone to my side after the fight, and that's all that really matters. I'm sure I'll have some good support out there, and I'll probably have some haters. That's how the fight game goes. But, I'm gonna make a lot of fans after this fight, and that's all that matters.
Okay, cool. And my final question is, I'm just not sure if you guys are aware, but recently there's been a lot of media attention in Australia on mixed martial arts, specifically, basically in Victoria, which is one of the states here, that it's actually banned, MMA is banned in a cage, but they allow it to happen in a boxing ring. Now, we've got an election coming up, and it's actually dominated a lot of headlines. You know, we're about 10 years behind the state in terms of the perception of the sport. So this fight has come at a really important time. Luke, you first. I'm just interested to know if you know what's happening down in regards to the sport, and if so, I guess what your part is in helping the right perception in Australia.
Yeah, it's a very unfortunate situation. It's going to be a lot more dangerous to fight inside a ring. You know, a lot of bad things can happen. And the perception of a cage being what they believe it is definitely far from true. It's very false. And, it's our job to go out there and carry ourselves like professionals inside the cage and, show them that, this is a sport and it needs to be treated, and we carry ourselves like professionals. You're going to see a very professional, clean fight. And, hopefully we can help build MMA and get it legalized in Victoria.
Awesome. What do you think, Michael?
Yeah, well, it's all about education. It's all about educating those people that have a negative view about it. Of course, from the outside, if you don't have the facts and you're a little ignorant about the sports, there certainly is always going to be negative connotations that you could attach to it. You could say, they fight with small gloves on, you're allowed to hit them when they're on the floor, they fight in a cage. And when you look at these things, it's easy to build a negative image surrounding the sport. But if you expose these people to it, they learn a little bit about it. They learn the safety records. They understand why we implement an octagon as opposed to a boxing ring. Then you look at it a lot more favourably. And I think that if these people that are against it, they come out to the fight next weekend, they'll see highly trained individuals. They will see a highly well-run, the best sporting organisation in the world running the best sporting event. And the level of professionalism is absolutely through the roof. And as we said, it has a fantastic safety record. So it's all about education and exposing these people to it. And I invite them to come out and watch the fight, see what we do, and I'm sure they'll have a great evening and they'll forget all their, all their judgments that they had before.
Awesome. Thank you, guys.
Adam, it's Tom Wright here. Just to echo what Michael and Luke have said, I think they both express themselves extremely well. The truth of the matter is that we do have an opportunity literally 3 weeks before the election in Victoria, to demonstrate, in a state very right next door to Victoria, obviously in New South Wales, where Sydney is, to be able to demonstrate the professionalism, the focus on fighter safety, and the fact that there isn't a better organization in the world to put on our events than the UFC. And that we take our sport very, very seriously, but we also want to make sure it's a fair fight, which, of course, the octagon is a level playing field, as you well know, as opposed to a boxing ring, which is not style neutral. And I think this is a great opportunity for us to demonstrate that and to have an opportunity to speak to the educational points that that Michael mentioned and to demonstrate the professionalism that Luke speaks to. So we're very much looking forward to. There's a whole fight week of events that are scheduled for Sydney when we are there next week, and that provides us with many opportunities to demonstrate just how short-sighted and the positions that have been taken by those uneducated individuals in Victoria.
Thanks, Don. I appreciate that. I'll catch up with you all next week. Cheers.
We'll go next to Alex Schlinsky with MMA Mania.
Hey, guys. How you doing? Thank you very much. I just wanted to know, visiting, you've been so close to the top multiple times, and yet you never really reached that apex. You never got into that title fight. We know that a fight with Rockhold, a win over him, would really boost your chances to get towards a title fight. Do you think that maybe the psychology going in, maybe getting him, riled up beforehand is going to help you to get to a title fight by making this a bigger fight than it is?
That's a good question. You know, I mean, only Luke can really answer that. You know, I'm focusing on what I do, and perhaps in the past, that's been my downfall, focusing on my opponent too much, thinking too much about them, obsessing over them, thinking about how they're going to approach the fight. I'm too long in the tooth to do that these days. I'm too experienced. I just focus on what I need to do. Certainly, one area that I've made leaps and bounds in is the mental preparation. You know, obviously, this is a very physical sport, but it's hugely, there's a huge psychological and mental aspect to it, and I've really made gains with that over the last couple of years. Certainly, in the last 12 months, I'm understanding a lot of things a lot better now. Yes, you know, I've got to the top of the sport, and then, you know, I fell short. But I think the fact that I've been there so many times is a testament to my fighting ability, my character, and my will to win, which says a lot for a guy that apparently doesn't like to fight. I've been there several times. Most people only get there once. I've dusted myself off. I've come back a better fighter. I've truly learned from all my losses, and I'm still as hungry as the first day that I ever put a pair of gloves on. I still want to be world champion. I know I can do it. I'm physically in my prime, and I'm mentally better than ever. So, it's all to play for, and I still dream of being world champion, and that all starts next weekend. You know, I'm one of the top guys. I've been here for a long time, but I'm not going anywhere yet.
Awesome. I wanted to know both your reactions to when you heard that Chris Weidman was injured and the middleweight title fight was once again postponed. We know Vitor was really upset. He wanted an interim title fight. We know that we got Jacare and Yoel Romero potentially fighting. You two are fighting next week. You know, there's kind of a logjam at the middleweight division. When you see that, you know, the champion's injured, is that frustrating to you guys?
Go ahead, Luke.
You can go ahead first.
I mean, it is what it is. I mean, well, Weidman's fought, you know, he's had a couple fights in pretty close proximity. Not too bad, but, you know, it's a small delay in the big scheme of things, and, you know, a lot of champions have been out a lot longer. So, you know, it's just, you know, someone needs to separate themselves as the elite contender, you know, number one contender, and that's all it's doing really is giving more time for one of us to separate themselves, and that's what I'm going to do. That's what I'm here to do.
You know, ultimately, that's the way this sport goes. You know, it's an unforgiving sport inside the octagon and outside of the octagon, and injuries are common. You know, as Luke said, it wasn't a massive setback. You know, it's going to delay it by a few months, yes, but in the grand scheme of things, it isn't really going to matter. Vitor is the number one contender. You know, what were my feelings when it got put back? My feelings were this. My feelings were that is a huge, it's of a huge benefit for Chris Weidman, simply because Vitor was on testosterone replacement therapy for a long time, and that does take an impact on your body and the amount of muscle mass that you carry. And the longer you were off the extra testosterone that you were prescribed to take by a doctor, we shall say, of course, the longer you're off it, the more physical changes your body will make. So I think there's going to be, I'm not sure when Vito's last fight was, but we could be talking over a year where he hasn't been on, you know, the prescriptions that he was on before. So I think the longer it goes until that fight happens, the more benefit Chris Weidman has. Vito's going to be weaker, slower, not as strong, things like that. So that was my initial thought.
Interesting.
Assuming he's not taking anything.
Luke, we spoke earlier that you said that you've beaten Jacare before, and yet he's still ranked higher than you because he hasn't lost in the UFC yet. Do you think with a dominant win over Bisping this week, you are able to, you know, leapfrog him through all this promotional hype, through the rivalry with Bisping? If you do get a finish, you can get past him?
I don't know, man. I have no idea how
they make the drink and who makes them and what the guidelines are, if there are the guidelines. Zach Ray jumped me, beating, I believe, Chris Camozzi, and I lost to Vitor Belfort. So, I mean, that should give you some perspective on how they work things, you know. That's when he jumped me in the rankings, I believe. So I'm just going to fight my fight, and I'm going to show, you know, what I do. And, you know, hopefully it gets respected and acknowledged.
Thank you guys for your time.
We'll go next to Casper Rozalowski with Submission Radio.
Hey, guys. My question's for Michael. Michael, when we spoke to you in Sydney last, you told us you believe that Luke won't want to stand with you and will probably take the fight to the ground. I'm just wondering, coming into the fight being about a week away, is that something you still believe?
Yeah, 100%. I think that once he steps in there with me, he'll realize that it's not as easy as what he's forecasting it to be. You know, and this is mixed martial arts. It's not a kickboxing or a boxing match. So there's other facets to the game, of course. And I think he will. I think he'll shoot. I think he's looking at my Tim Kennedy loss and how he was able to take me down and hold me there. I think he's underestimating my wrestling and my takedown defense, and he thinks he can expose an apparent weakness there. Of course, I will prove otherwise on the night. You know, as I said, when the fight starts, he'll realize that he's in. You know, that this ain't the walk in the park that he thinks it's going to be. And then when it doesn't go his way on the feet, I think he'll shoot for a takedown.
Fantastic. And you know, I have a follow up for Luke Rockhold. Luke, you know, you discussed some areas in the fight that you're very confident in. I'm just wondering, what do you think your greatest strength or advantage over Michael will be, you know, come November 8th here in Sydney when you guys match up together?
The difference between me and Michael, our fighting skills, is the same difference between our beards. I'm just more of a man than him.
Great. Well, thanks for that, Luke. I guess
there you go. Insight for you there. He can grow slightly better facial hair, so therefore he's a bigger man and he's going to win the fight. Good on you, Luke. Well done. You got more pubes on your face.
I'm gonna outstrike him. You know, I'm gonna.
Oh, here we go. An actual intelligent answer. Go ahead. The floor is yours.
Ah, I love it. The thing is, when me and Michael were sparring, he was the one shooting. He was the one trying to wrestle. And I wasn't even standing southpaw. I switched my stance.
So there we go. The excuses again.
So I'm very confident on my feet. Michael's good. I can't take away. He's good. He's technical. He's got good footwork. He's got a lot of movement. That's the thing. He throws off a lot of people. He's always moving his arms, his feet. He's constantly circling away from the power. He knows what he's doing on the feet. He's good. He's about to realize I'm on another level right now. He's in for a rude awakening. I've just gained so much more in every area. You know, my last couple fights, you haven't even really seen what I've done. With the Philippou fight, you know, good striker, I showed a couple things, but, you know, my boxing game has evolved so much more than what you saw there. And my kickboxing, he really feels my power. And I'm not really shy to give my game plan away. I'm going to lay some heavy kicks on him. And he's going to wake up from those, and he's going to realize, you know, there's a big difference between me and him. And he's going to be in for a rude awakening.
Thank you very much, Luke and Michael. Looking forward to the fight.
Yep.
That concludes today's question and answer session. At this time, I will turn the call back over to Tom Reich for any additional or closing remarks.
Thanks very much, Vicki. I appreciate it. And thank you to everyone who's been on the call. As we chatted earlier, we're really excited about the November 8th event, UFC Fight Night Fight Pass, Rockhold versus Bisping, November the 8th at the All Phones. I want to have a special thank you to both Luke and to Michael. Looking forward to seeing you guys in Sydney next week. Travel safely, and hope everybody has a nice evening tonight. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tom.
Michael. See you, Luke.
See you guys.
That does conclude today's conference. We thank you for your participation.